Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Joining us online, we have is Marana Zahir Ahmad Raghi. Marana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And we take this opportunity of greeting our listeners on Radio Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, we were discussing about the ayat of وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا, and we explained that in order for us to develop mentally or intellectually in this world, we need to interact with people, and that's how things go. Thereafter, we explained the word رَشَدًا, this is committed to guidance, and we also mentioned that dua is the foundation of all major points. Well, we still wanted to continue a bit on the ayat of وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا.
Inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As you have rightly said, Marana, and what we had also said previously, is that dua is the foundation of all major turning points and all great efforts. The power of dua is captured in this introduction of this young men that went into the cave. They retreated to the cave, and they immediately they said, Rabbana atina min ladunka rahma, O Allah, O our Lord. So always begin any initiative with dua and for the assistance and the facilitation of success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The beginning of all great things must always begin with dua. So they said, O Allah, grant us from you mercy and prepare us for our affair and grant us good, right guidance. And Allah protected and preserved them from this one dua, subhanallah, for more than 3 centuries. We also should protect our future and the future of our progeny with dua. Those who are obedient to Allah, make decisions for Allah's sake, will be guided and will be inspired to decision making in matters where revelation may not be clear. Now, this ayah is teaching us that the young men, as they went into the cave, they made dua. And this ayah and this dua is teaching us that sometimes in this world we will face situations in life where we are not sure what we really need to do, or where the Quran might not be very clear and explicit, or there is no clear evidence from hadith about, for example, what you should do, where you should move, what job you should take. Maybe you want to get married and there are multiple offers, multiple schools have accepted you, etc. And, you know, the list can go on and on. So this dua is actually teaching us, and the action of the people of the cave is actually teaching us that they are in a valley. They are in an endless amount of caves in front of them, and Allah guided them to the right decision when they made the right sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of all the millions of variations of theologies and ideologies that we are faced with today, how do I know that I am following the right one? There are times in history, or there were times in history, where truth, information was not really accessible to people. For example, in ancient empires that controlled their populations by limiting the flow of information. We have the example of the Catholic Church that limited access to the Bible. However, we, in the times that we are living in, and the mass media that we are faced with, digital, electronic, and all of it, we are living in a total opposite time, where we have been bombarded with way too much information compared to those before us. And we have access to so much of information. And this is essentially the same as not knowing anything. If you have too much of information, it creates confusion, and it's the same as having no information. There is skepticism now about various calls and various ideologies and groups, etc., and even about Islam itself, between faiths. And people will even ask, in the times that we are living in, a'udhu billah, and because of the confusion and the doubts that have been created in people, that do we even need a faith? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open His guidance to young men who may not be scholars, or exhaustively knowledgeable and have no prophet or no sheikh or teacher, no access to all of this, if we make the dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا, this is a dua that can help us in every error, every step that we take. However, we must make the sacrifices, and in the case of these young people, they made the sacrifice and they want to serve Allah, and that was enough for Allah to give them guidance. Scholars nowadays that are going to study their entire lives, and we have so much information and we have so much ulama, and we have people that study their entire lives, but may not be going to be worth the merit of these young men. We are learning the value of sincere prayer above everything else. People who turn to Allah and make genuine sacrifices for the deen, their guidance and misguidance has been turned over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we are actually learning here is that because of the excess of information, sometimes we glorify means to guidance as guidance itself. Knowledge is a means to guidance. It's not guidance in itself. And sometimes we become so obsessed with how much I know that we begin to glorify the means to guidance and don't show our need for guidance. Knowledge, we must remember, is only a means to guidance. If you glorify knowledge too much, there is possibility that you may lose guidance. You are learning, seeking knowledge for guidance so that it can bring you closer to Allah. And the only thing that Allah accepts on the day of Qiyamah is the one that comes with a sound heart. Qalbun Salim, as Allah has mentioned in the Quran. And the more important and the most important qualification for guidance is not actually in books and information. And the people of the cave turned to Allah and they asked for Allah's mercy first. And this will fix their dunya and it fixed their akhirah. So they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what is more important first. The first thing that when they decided to go, the first thing they did was they asked Allah for the thing that was most important. In other words, their priorities in their life are clear to them. Then they asked about their immediate concerns. And the entire purpose of the surah is to combat materialism. Among the fitna of the Dajjal and the ideologies of the Dajjal, as we have repeatedly made mention, is the whole promotion of materialism, the promotion of secularism, which actually means to be distant from religion and Islam or religion itself. And the purpose of the surah is to combat both materialism and secularism. And we learn here that the young men, before going into the cave, were not obsessed by the material comforts around them, nor were they prepared to lead the life of irreligiousness. And they made a dua, such a comprehensive dua, that combats both materialism and secularism. And they said, if Allah facilitates a way for them in which they can stay on guidance, then they qualify for Allah's mercy and rahmah. It's something like a cause and effect. We need to ask Allah's mercy and ask Him also to open up doors to make it easy for us to worship Him more and more and more. Now we need to ask Allah for things that will cause rushd for us, guidance for us. And we had given the detailed meaning of the word rushd. So these young men don't feel socially awkward talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are not feeling awkward talking to Allah. Today, unfortunately, we feel consciously shy many a times around others and cannot talk casually about Allah and make dua together. If you want to see a person on hidayah, look at his dua and his asking of Allah. That is a symbol of him on guidance. Here they are a company of young men, and they are just talking to Allah together, and their consciousness of Allah increases as they are together. There is a need for us and a lesson for us here, that we need to emulate these things that have been mentioned for us to know all the time in the Quran. What is our company going to do? Is it going to take us closer to Allah or take us further away from Allah? Today, mankind have become so materialistic, psychologically to the point that sometimes we even feel awkward talking to Allah when we are alone in the car. There is a psychological form of disbelief or kufr somewhere in ourselves. You'll only feel weird if you doubt that someone is even listening. Why in the world would you think that it's crazy or that is something embarrassing? And we find that these young men, their reliance in Allah has been demonstrated by Allah making special mention of the dua that they made before entering or when they left their environment. Allah says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. The next ayah as we go along, that when they made this dua, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. The word Allah has used here is فَضَرَبْنَا, the word fa, and we'll come back to that as we go along. So Allah says, because they made this dua, so therefore we sealed up their hearing, putting them to sleep in the cave for a number of years. This is basically a rough translation of ayah number 11. فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. So we struck upon their ears in the cave, years in number. This is basically a literal translation. And one of the unique elements of the story of the people of the cave in general is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His own broad wisdom textured this entire story with ambiguity. There are elements in the story of the people of the cave that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have purposely made ambiguous. Now, if you look at this ayah, فَضَرَبْنَا, and the first letter in this ayah is the word fa. فَضَرَبْنَا. It is a casual use of the word fa to illustrate the cause. And therefore, we will translate it as, they made the dua, therefore, as a result of the dua in the previous ayah, Allah did what is in this ayah. In other words, Allah said, إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. When the young man took refuge in the cave and said, O our Rabb, bless us with mercy from yourself and provide us with guidance in this matter of ours, Allah did something for them that would give them everything they needed, but they could not have imagined the way in which Allah would do it. And we find that commentators have given beautiful imagery of this ayah. فَضَرَبْنَا, we struck upon their ears. The object of the verb that is missing, what did Allah strike on the ears? We struck upon their ears. What did Allah strike on the ears? It could be some kind of barrier or a block on the ears, a plug in the ears. Striking upon the ear is a kind of illusory reference, imagery reference to putting them to sleep, because heavy sleep requires that you can't hear anything. Light sleep, even a little sound will wake you up. The only thing you can prevent deep sleep with is the ears totally going out. Some people can sleep with their eyes open, but their ears are still out. So this striking on the ear is the very mercy and the rahmah that they had asked Allah for in their dua. How is this passing out in deep sleep a rahmah? A question may be asked. I have said that among the rahmah that they asked for, the benefit of the dua that they asked for, the rahmah of Allah, was that Allah put them off into deep sleep. Now how is this deep sleep a rahmah? When someone is extremely sick, the only time they are not in pain is when they are fast asleep. If someone is in a lot of stress, or if someone is in psychological torment, the only time it is not destroying them or disturbing them is when they are fast asleep. And when you are sleeping, you are actually being cut off from all your problems, and you are in a state of relaxation, and you are in a state of peace, away from all fear, hunger, pain, anxiety, stress, worries. So when the believers, these young men, when they were nervous and jittery, or rather, in another place in the Quran Kareem, Allah talks about the Muslims, the Sahaba, when they were nervous and jittery before going into battle, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a peaceful sleep, and they got up after it and attacked. And this is mentioned in the Quran. Now these young men, when they entered the cave, which is in a mountain, out in the wilderness and the desert. Now just imagine the scene. Young men entering a cave, which is in a mountain, out in the wilderness. This place is ripe to be hit with storms, winds, wild animal sounds, and all kinds of unimaginable things that can disturb a sleeper. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had left them in their state just regularly sleeping, then these sounds would have eventually woken them up. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disrupted their ability to hear. It wasn't just that Allah put them to sleep, but He also put a barrier on their ears, so that no amount of sound, earthquake, storms, animals could actually rattle them and wake them up. And this is why they were able to sleep that entire time. So this is an expression that talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala putting them to sleep. And this is from the eloquent examples of the Quran that made the Arabs agree that they can't come up with something like the Quran. Allah says, we prevented them from listening because a sleeper, if they were to hear something, it would wake them up. And Allah used the most eloquent form to express that not only are they sleeping, subhanallah, but the sleep is impossible to disturb. Ibn Abbas actually makes mention, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that Allah prevented their ears from any sounds reaching them, could also mean that Allah says, we responded to their prayer when they made this dua, and we took them away from the evil of the people, and thus put them to sleep. Allah prevented their ears from doing what they normally do, prevented it from being disturbed by hearing sounds. Now to put somebody to sleep, literally Allah says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ آذَانِهِمْ, we struck their ears, literally to pat someone on the ear. The image is that of an affectionate mother. An affectionate mother that is putting a child to sleep by patting the child on the ears. The idiom also means to prevent somebody from hearing. To seal off somebody's ears. It may be said that in the Quranic verse, it carries both meanings at once. The sleepers were patted to sleep, and at the same time they were saved from hearing what would have harmed them. The idea, subhanallah, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lovingly patting the sleepers to sleep, this comes from Allah's love and rahmah. So Allah says, فَضَرَبْنَا عَلَىٰ أَذَانِمْ فِي الْكَهْفِ سِنِينَ عَدَدًا. So we sealed up the hearing, putting them to sleep in the cave for a number of years. We had previously given the various meanings of struck upon the ears, including the meaning of pet on the ears, like a mother puts a baby off. And one of the unique elements of the story in general is that Allah textured this entire story with ambiguity. And there are elements that are purposely made ambiguous here. We sealed the ears in the cave for a number of years. Now, this is the ambiguity that has been brought in this ayah. Meaning, sinina adada, a number of years. The word adad is short for a great number. And adad would not be used unless it was years, many in number. Better them to sleep for years, many in number. In fact, we find that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha uses similar wordings when she talks about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَكَانَ يَخْرُجُ إِلَىٰ غَارِ حِرَىٰ يَتَحَنَّتَ فِيهِ لَيَالَ ذَاتِ عَدَدٍ. That Aisha narrates about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when in the beginning he used to go and worship in the cave of Hira, and he used to worship in it لَيَالِ ذَاتَ عَدَدٍ, a number, a great number of nights. She intends to say multiple nights when she used the word adad. And perhaps the word adad has been made concise and ambiguous to keep the story concise and not to give details. Now let's look at the commentary of ambiguity of these ayah. Allah could have given the number of nights immediately, but Allah did not. Allah just said a number of nights. The Christians have extensive opinions and debates on how many years the people of the cave slept in the cave. And Allah could have answered this in one word, but Allah chose not to do that. The story also had many details missing, and Allah didn't tell us a lot of this. It's important to take note of what Allah not only decided to tell us, but also to take note of what Allah decided to leave out and not tell us in the story. Islam, we believe, and the Quran, we believe, is that everything that we need to know has been given to us. The language this ayah uses is somewhat ambiguous. Sinina adada, some nights. So Allah says years and then doesn't specify the number of years. He just says years, adad, a number. And this is a profound piece of wisdom of the Quran Kareem. And when we read the Quran, or when we want to understand the Quran, we need to reflect on these subtleties of the Quran Kareem. And not giving the number of years is actually a profound piece of wisdom of the Quran. To give you an example, if you take a good teacher, a teacher purposely keeps information from you when you are not ready for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows which questions deserves which answers, and perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not answering our questions is the best education we can receive, because we have to learn which questions are valuable to ask in the first place. The Quran is general and it's very concise. There is very limited, comprehensive information in the Quran. When I say limited, we need to understand that the information of the Quran, though limited, is comprehensive. It is, the Quran is a book of teaching and it's not a book of information. And because it is a book of teaching, its information is comprehensive and limited. It's not a book of information. And when teaching something, repetition is key in learning process. And the purpose of every ayah is to give you something of value. And the purpose of these ayahs is to give us things of value. Now, the thing of value here is that you are taken to the image of a baby being put to sleep. And they are put to sleep in a place of comfort. And a place of comfort has to have a pillow. And a pillow that you lean on is called mirfaqa. And this word is later used in the ayah number 16, and we'll come back to that. So we still use the same expression to this day where we say he is sleeping like a baby. Now imagine, in the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them comfort. Imagine in the cave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them sleep like a baby. And imagine on top of that, that nap and that sleep lasted 300 years. It doesn't matter how many years, because if they slept years, it's already miraculous. It's an act of divine intervention by Allah, because it is so long. And that is enough for a believer to appreciate the miraculous powers and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, the number becomes irrelevant, subhanallah. And therefore, if the number has now become irrelevant, there was no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the exact number of nights in the first part of this ayah. Because making them sleep for so long, giving them the comfort for so long, is in itself miraculous. And then subhanallah, the Quran Kareem and the language of the Quran. There are two words that may be used to define a year. The one is sana and the other is am. Am is also referred to a year in the Arabic language. And sana is also referred to a year in the Arabic language. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the word sineen instead of am, and there is wisdom in that also. And therefore, the need to understand the Quran in the original Arabic language brings about such gems of the Quran that is unimaginable. In English, if you would have translated it, both the word sineen and the word am would have been translated as year. Now, sineen, which Allah has used in this ayah, is used in two interesting ways. The word sineen is used and it occurs in context of difficulty. A sana is actually not a normal year. It's regarded and referred to a tough year, as opposed to the word am that isn't tough. And we find a beautiful example of this in Surah Yusuf, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the drought in Surah Yusuf, where he said sab'a sanawat, and drought which is tough, Allah used the word sanawat, 7 years of tough years of drought. And when Allah used the word am, it was when things got better, he called it am. And you learn from this that sineen is a tough year, am is not a tough year. Even Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam stayed with his people for, Allah says, 1,000 sana except for 50 arms. 1,000 years except for 50 years, but in the Arabic, Allah said 1,000 sana except for 50 arms. Some say that 950 years, 950 sana. Now, the 1,000 years of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah speaks of were tough years. And the 50 years were good years. So when Sharia talks about a mother feeding her child, it is amen. It is about setting a time limit. It's easier and precise. However, Allah said sinina adada is used when you are talking about the quantity of numbers and number and a year that is tough. So Allah says in this ayah, there are two things we have to keep in mind. That these years that were sineen, they slept for, were actually very difficult years. And in the difficult years, Allah saved them from this difficulty. The society around them, and the society that they were surrounded by, was filled with fitna, so it was difficult. It was filled with shirk, it was difficult. It was filled with kufr, it was difficult, with disbelief. And they were saved from all these difficulties. And the second thing is, when you hear the word sana, you think of quantity. So Allah purposely left out the specific number and said adada, which actually means that they were tough, many tough years. Now the story began from, just a summary before we conclude today, Morana.
جی.
The story began from transitioning from the opening passage to the story of the people of the cave and telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this story isn't that strange. And let's look at the three scenes of the story of the people of the cave thus far. They make dua as they are heading towards the cave. This is a major event in the story. How did they get to the cave to begin with? That takes us to the second stage. They made it to the cave. They sat inside and Allah put them to sleep. Also another major part of the story. And the third stage of the story is what happens when they wake up. And this is in the next ayah. And in these three ayats, Allah, of this entire story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now give us the full detail of the story from here onwards. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a beautiful way of relating to us the story. Allah relates the story to us firstly by giving us a synopsis of the story. And the synopsis of the story are mentioned in these three ayats of the Quran Kareem. They made dua, they went into the cave, they slept into the cave, and when they got up. And the rest of the story is now going to be the detailed relationship or the detailed relative of the story, how Allah then relates to us the entire story. Now we'll conclude here. If there are any comments or any questions with regards to the discussion that we had thus far, otherwise we'll conclude here and we'll continue next week, inshallah.